Let's read together Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 through 44. Now, in the second half of Leviticus chapter 23, we have the last three of the annual Hebrew feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's begin by reading verses 23 through 25, which are about the Feast of Trumpets. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Let's begin our study of this second half of Leviticus chapter 23 with some background notes. We mentioned in our last talk that just as the five different Hebrew offerings under the law portrayed or typified the future person and work of the coming Messiah, so the seven different Hebrew annual feasts not only had their historical aspect, but they all looked forward and portrayed or typified the redemptive program of the coming Messiah. Passover foreshadowed Calvary and Christ as the Lamb of God. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was closely associated with Passover, portrayed the results of Christ's work on the cross, namely a people separated from sin and in fellowship together in Christ. The Feast of First Fruits, which came on the first day of the week after Passover, obviously looked forward to the resurrection of Christ. And Pentecost, which came 50 days later, typified the coming of the Holy Spirit and the formation of the Church at Pentecost. These first four annual feasts, which were held in the spring of the year, all portrayed some aspect of God's program of redemption in connection with Christ's first coming. Now, the last three annual feasts, which were held in the fall of the year, all portray some aspect of God's redemptive program in connection with Christ's second coming. It should be obvious that the long time span between the feasts, portraying some aspect of Christ's first coming in the spring of the year, and the feasts portraying some aspect of Christ's second coming in the fall of the year, represents the present church age between Pentecost and the Lord's return. And that brings us then, once again, to our doctrinal point for this chapter. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical aspect and a future aspect. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical aspect and a future aspect. In verses 23 through 25, the verses that we just read, we have a description of the required Feast of Trumpets. This feast, by the way, is the beginning of the Hebrew civil year and is called Rosh Hashanah. So there is both the Jewish religious calendar and the Jewish civil calendar. Now, the civil calendar began after the Babylonian captivity. So for the Jewish people now, the Feast of Trumpets is a New Year's celebration in Israel's civil calendar. The trumpets that were blown by the priests at this feast were shofars or ram's horns, not the silver trumpets that were described in Numbers chapter 10. Now, the historical aspect of the Feast of Trumpets was to call the people to get ready and be prepared for the other two feasts to come that month, namely the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. As to the future aspect of the Feast of Trumpets, there is a lot of speculation. Does this feast foreshadow the rapture of the church? After all, the church was formed on the day of Pentecost. Maybe the church will be raptured on the day of the Feast of Trumpets. There are some Christians who are convinced the rapture will be on a Rosh Hashanah of some year in the near future. Now, my own view is that the future aspect of the Feast of Trumpets has to do with the regathering of Israel to the land in view of the future aspect of the next feast, the Day of Atonement, which looks forward to the repentance and restoration of Israel. Before Israel as a nation repents and is restored spiritually, they must be returned physically to the land. It's happening today, but there's much more to come. Listen to the prophetic words of Isaiah about this regathering of Israel. Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13. And you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. They will come and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. From Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13. In verses 26 through 32 of Leviticus 23, we have a description of the Day of Atonement. Let's read these verses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Now remember in Leviticus chapter 16, we also had a description of the Day of Atonement. This was the one day of the year when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the atoning sacrifice in reference to the sins of the nation. In Leviticus chapter 16, the emphasis was on the responsibilities of the priests in reference to the Day of Atonement. Here in Leviticus chapter 23, the emphasis is on the responsibilities of the average Israelite. Although the Day of Atonement was one of the annual feasts of Israel, it was not characterized by feasting, but rather by fasting. And notice how almost every verse here mentioned that no work was to be done on the Day of Atonement. This certainly emphasizes that atonement for our sins is not by works. It's only because of the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross. Now, as to the future aspect of the Day of Atonement, we've already mentioned that it looks forward to the spiritual restoration of Israel with the return of Christ. I'm reading from Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. And also from Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. What a great day that will be. In verses 33 through 44 of Leviticus 23, we have a description of the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read these verses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths or tabernacles for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. The Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, was a week-long joyous feast. In fact, the Puritans patterned our first Thanksgiving Day feast after the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. This feast is also known as the Feast of Booths and the Feast of Ingathering because it was to remind the people that God took care of them in the wilderness for 40 years. Even to this day, the Jewish people build temporary booths or huts or lean-to like shelters with branches on their rooftops or in their backyards to celebrate this feast. You know, when we lived in the Chicago area, we had Orthodox Jewish neighbors who had a shelter in their backyard during Sukkot. One year, I jokingly told them that they were cheating because they were using mosquito netting on their lean-to, which Moses never intended. Well, they laughed and said something to the effect that even the mosquitoes stayed away from the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles looks forward to that time of great blessing for the spiritually restored nation of Israel. This will take place when the Lord returns and establishes his earthly millennial kingdom with his throne in Jerusalem. It will be a time of great blessing and rejoicing and glory. We read in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, that the Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated during the millennium. The Hebrew feasts have both an historical and future aspect. And by the way, as believers, we'll be there as part of the millennial kingdom of Christ. Well, that brings us to our practical application for the second half of Leviticus chapter 23. Let every day be a Rosh Hashanah. Let every day be a Rosh Hashanah. Now, we mentioned that a number of Christians believe that the rapture of the church will be on a Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, because the church began on the Feast of Pentecost. Some of these Christians tend to walk a more godly life around the time of Rosh Hashanah, or at least they seem to practice a lifestyle more in keeping with the expectation that the Lord could return at this time. Well, we should all have that same expectant attitude every day of the year. We are to be watching and waiting expectantly for the Lord's return at any time. As the Lord Jesus said in the parable of Luke chapter 12, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching." From Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. Now let me ask you, when you got up this morning, did you say, maybe the Lord will come back today? Let every day be a Rosh Hashanah.